For June the 14th, 2019, we talk about Dauntless, Gladia Bots, and we ask you about your favorite announcements from E3. Welcome to Level 288. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Meismath.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. I guess this is the E3 episode?
It's yeah.
Right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Christmas. Yay.
It usually happens.
That makes it like the E1.5 episode.
Yes. That's happened to us for a while. Doing it on Monday night is even more awkward, it feels like. But you know, we've got some announcements. We're going to talk about those in the multiplayer. That's what that is about here. But, yeah, I feel really weird because this is the first E3 in many years where I have not been, watching stuff, as it's announced.
You're just taking inspiration from Sony.
Yes. Sitting it out. No, I've just been, my parents are in the process of moving. They will have moved by the time the next episode comes out, which is good, but ooh,
is this like from childhood home, or have they moved a couple times since then?
Yes, this is from basically from childhood home. It's the place where they've lived since I was in first grade.
Oh man,
yeah. So they've lived in that house for 24 years, I think, something like that, which is a long time to never really do a prune. Just to keep putting stuff in closets.
So, are they downsizing since there are no more kids in the house?
Kind of. They are moving to a similarly sized house, but it's in a condo facility area. So they are.
But what used to be kids' bedrooms is now a bowling alley.
We're turning your bedroom back into the computer room. no, they're going to be closer to me too, which I don't know how to. I'll say yes. I feel good about that.
In case they listen in, yeah.
They stopped listening. Yeah, if they ever listened. They stopped a while ago because I swear too much. No, but I've been too busy.
This podcast is so unwholesome.
Yeah, no, I've been doing too much of that in addition to like outdoor stuff. So like, I don't know, I put a new tire on a wheelbarrow, which feels like some kind of achievement.
Oh, hell yeah.
But I've got a wheelbarrow now. Now that it has a wheel, before it was just a barrow.
A barren barrow.
Yes.
Wait, so I guess maybe this is, you know, David is late to understand things. So is the idea that the name is literally like wheel donkey?
Wheel burrow? I don't know.
The Spanish version?
Maybe.
Barrow?
I've got no idea. Burrow,
isn't that another name for donkey?
Burrow is, but it's barrow. Almost like a hill or something like that. Like, what is a barrow?
This feels like the lead into a bit that, like, what's his face? Seinfeld might do.
It's got a wheel and it's a barrow. so no, but I've been doing just stuff like that and putting good
as a counterpoint to your weekend, Cole. This is one of the first times that I sat down and watched like 30 minutes to an hour of E3 continuously.
Oh, yeah.
It made me realize, oh, I shouldn't do that. This is really boring. There's a lot of padding in here.
Yeah. There's a lot, like, depending on who you watch, there's a lot of sales charts. A lot of
pandering.
Yeah. No, usually it's like a background thing. But yeah, mm-hmm. No dice this time, which is fine.
When's the last time dice made anything worth playing?
People say Battlefront 2 is pretty good, minus the loot box stuff.
Whenever I watch E3, I always get insecure. I'm like, maybe I don't like playing video games anymore.
Trajectory of the podcast.
Is this still for me? Yeah. No, I just been watching news stories filter through, but yeah, that's been most of my weekend. Usually I throw it to the person who's been away for the general chat, but I just kind of hogged it. Sorry, Dennis. Welcome back, Dennis.
Oh, good. Hey, glad to be here.
Yeah, you're done with traveling for a bit.
No.
Oh,
I wish. I'm not traveling right now, but Jen is in China, so she is like the most traveling she can possibly be. And then she has a bachelorette party the weekend after, and then I am back on the road for a project. So we're keeping it rolling here, but it does this does mean I'm just hanging out on a Monday night. But you talked about doing outdoor things, and that has been the theme of my time since I was on last, besides travel. It is like perfect weather, kids are the perfect age, and we've just been spending all our time in parks and in backyards and all that craziness.
You go place any go any place cool?
Summit Park is down the road from us, which has a giant sliding hill, not a sledding hill, a sliding hill.
Okay.
Which is just, you know, it's a pretty steep hill that's covered in like AstroTurf that I guess is designed not to give you turf burn. And just the entire thing is kids run to the top and then they dive and slide down.
That sounds incredibly fun.
Yeah, you bring some cardboard.
Yeah,
and suddenly you are a speed racer.
You take some Pam cooking spray to that cardboard. Guess what? Your two counties over. They're pulling you out of a tree. That's right. You went straight through like a javelin.
That's the equivalent of corking the bat there. They draw the somewhere.
Also, I straight up stole that prop joke from Christmas Vacation, so I apologize for that.
Yeah, but it's good stuff. And so that's been a lot of fun, and been trying to be outside as much as possible.
It's fantastic. Get out there before it gets too hot, because it's gonna.
Oh my god, last year it was like a 2-week window of like nice, and then it was just unbearable. Well, so.
I mean, it seems like we always end up talking about the weather. One thing that I am kind of happy for is that by not being in Cincinnati, I get at least a little bit more than 2 total weeks of good weather in a year. Yeah,
lucky bastard.
No, it's Cincinnati has no chill.
Just freeze or burn.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, well, that's fun. I'm sure the boys are having a good time sliding down the hill.
So I felt like super dad because, like I said, mom's out of town. Uh-huh. And this is like the first experience I've had where I packed up a dinner for him to eat at the picnic table. And I thought of everything, every little thing, like, oh, it's too windy. Here's a weight for your plate. Oh, you got you want this? I got that. You need this? I got a napkin. And it's just like, I had a magic bag of tricks where everything I put in, I used. And there wasn't a single thing that I packed that I didn't need. And there wasn't a single thing that I needed that I didn't pack.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, I'm on a perfect run right now.
Perfect picnic.
Uh-huh.
Perfect picnic. That sounds like an Atari game.
I'd play that. It's the kind of spiritual successor to Overcooked.
Yes, it is the it is a spiritual successor to Roadside Picnic, aka Stalker. That joke was only for David,
and he did not laugh.
No, he did. He did. He gave me a high, I believe. Unless that was you, Ben.
No,
I did not. Sound of silence. Apologies.
I saw what you did there.
Yeah. Awesome. David, you were out of town for a thing.
Yeah. So, this past weekend and some of the week, was actually in, Penn State for a martial arts seminar. Hmm. So, had a, instructor in, teaching, South African, like knife combat, which was really interesting. Then instructor in from Hawaii teaching like double stick, and then in the head of the Dog Brothers style in from California teaching basically more knife stuff. So it's a really good time.
Nice.
Sweet.
Yeah, that sounds very dangerous. I know you don't actually use the knives or the sticks, or at least not sticks as angry as the ones you would ultimately use, but
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely a, everyone needs to be careful thing.
Right. But,
as long as that's the case, it's, not too bad.
Yeah, the number of ways this can go wrong vastly outnumber the number of ways this could go right.
Exactly.
Nice. And Ben, how about you?
Not too much. I watched Black Mirror, the new season of that, over the weekend, so I was excited about that. I got to see it with my friends who I saw the first two seasons with, like, way back when, like, 6 or 7 years ago, so.
Nice.
That was fitting.
And yet you still use technology.
I know. Well, there's a lot of corn element in, especially this season of Black Mirror, so that it doesn't seem as scary as some of the previous seasons.
A lot. Wait, I'm sorry. Can you define that corn element?
Yeah, it's like corny. Certain parts are corny.
Okay, gotcha.
Camp. Yeah. I think you're going for camp.
Yeah, you could say that too.
Yeah.
Except for that one episode about GMO crops. That one was definitely corn.
Too much. That was literally and figuratively.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I think we've got it. I think that sounds like a banter to me. And I think we've got a show to do. How do you guys feel about doing the usual stuff?
It's usual.
All right. So we're going to begin with the things we've been playing. Go to multiplayer. We're just going to be kind of wrapped up with the end boss because we're going to bring our news stories. But I get ahead of our. We're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's start with
the grind.
The grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past period of time or so. Dennis, you've been away, and therefore you have played, what you've been.
Just really going to screw up the Dewey Decimal organization here. Yes. No, so I have been playing three things that I want to talk about, and then one little quick story. So I have been playing the game Dauntless. And David, have you talked about this on a previous episode yet?
Yes. Just a bit, but I'm interested to hear your side of the take.
Yeah, we came to it about the same time. Fortnite plus Monster Hunter, free to play, done very, very well. And that's one of the things I've been impressed with is I haven't put a cent in the game yet. I feel like I've gotten a very complete experience, and I'm playing alongside people who have chosen to put money into the game and just don't feel like I'm behind or at a disadvantage or anything like that. They have some cool cosmetic stuff that I don't, but that's totally fine. But just, I guess it's been implemented, even though it's, you know, it's a loot box system, it's a battle pass system. It's just implemented in a very good way that I can't quite put my finger on. I haven't felt like I've run into any paywalls or exploitative stuff yet.
That's good.
So that's good. Yeah. The loop of kind of grinding to get better armor to let you, kill more dangerous behemoths that let you grind to get better armor is very satisfying. And I think they've got that balance of, you know, I'm always slightly underleveled for the next big thing I've got to go hunt, but never so much that it feels like a chore.
Yeah.
And there is enough mastery rewards so that every piece of armor and every weapon has a series of mastery achievements associated with it. It's never something you have to go super intentionally for. You'll just get them by playing the game well, which just means no matter what you're working towards, there's always constant positive feedback. And going broad is actually rewarded very well. Whereas some free-to-play games, it's like, all right, you can play this for free, but you have to be hyper-focused on what you want to do. And don't craft anything extraneous. Don't build anything that you don't intend to immediately use, etc. This one feels like I've got a little bit more freedom to explore, and that's not only possible, but encouraged because of the way the mastery system works. So, really appreciate that. David, do you have any theories on what the hell the death marks are?
I mean, other than being ninja stars?
Yeah. So randomly, like, the home area is populated every day with 10 death marks, which is just little ninja stars with a little red, like, scroll or kind of frill thing attached to it. Hmm. And they're in random locations. And while you're waiting for your hunt to queue in, you can run around and hunt for them. And if you collect 10 of them, in a day, you get a little bonus to your battle pass thing.
Yeah.
Which is a fantastic little, you know, you don't need a loading screen mini game. You don't need anything else. Like, it just is a great little way to always have something to do. So your waits are always occupied. But it's just there's no reason that I've seen given for them existing in the game, which I find kind of
like why ninjas are, you know, once a day just assaulting the village.
Yeah, I guess. But they're not assaulting the village so much as they are, like, graffitiing the village.
Right.
You gotta go find and clean up their tags.
Right. Strangely enough, you also get them for, you know, breaking chunks off of monsters.
Mm-hmm. Because all monsters are packing, at least packing ninja stars.
Yeah, or have fought a couple of ninjas before.
Yeah, that might be it. Yeah, no, that's what it is. Is there's ninja stars stuck in their hide from previous battles. That leads to the question of why the hell can't I craft a ninja star to use? I can craft grenades, but not ninja stars.
No, why would you have to craft them? You can keep on finding them.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, don't throw this away.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Perfectly good ninja star. Why would you throw it away?
Yeah. But this, I think the tone of this conversation also speaks to the general just lightheartedness of the game. And that's where I think the Fortnite aspect comes in, is everyone there is just having a really good time and in a good mood. And certainly playing with some friends, like we yuck it up. The way it's structured, you can do pursuits where you pick a specific monster to fight, or you can do patrols, which open you up to a class of monsters. So like, okay, you're going to fight a frost monster. You don't know what it's going to be. There's like, you know, three or four of them that the game will randomly choose from. And the rewards are a little bit better, for doing a patrol. But what that means is if you do a patrol and it picks an early monster of that class for you, you're in for a really easy fight. And so my friend that I've been playing most with and I, Matt, have just, there's an early monster called a Skarn that we kept on getting queued into. And we're further along in the progression of the game. And this monster is so easy for us now that we almost started feeling sorry for him.
You know it's not real, right?
I know, but we just mopped the floor with it. It basically, you know, did not spend a second not stunned or about to be stunned, or like, you know, it didn't get away with anything. And just we're sitting there laughing our asses off just because it's so
it's so like monster poacher now.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Well, and there was one guy in the group that is, at least from what we could see, seemed to be fairly new, like had basic armor and everything. And we're just laughing our heads off because we're like, what if this is the guy's first fight? And he's like, man, this game is easy. Like, I can't wait for him to get back around and try it again without end game people with him. But yeah, it just is a lot of fun. Combine that with certain fights that when you're on that edge of being kind of slightly underleveled are really punishing. And you can do it. You just need to learn the patterns really well. Obligatory Dark Souls reference of like, you know, with enough skill, it really does make a difference.
Right.
The Rift Stalker is the latest behemoth to make me just absolutely furious at being so close and just not quite getting there. But that's its own kind of fun. So yeah,
that turned it into a game you like then.
Yeah, right. There is some challenge. There is a hard mode. Oh, go ahead.
So two things. First, actually posted the thing. You are not alone. Like the official Reddit forum even has, and this is why I posted like fan art about the degree to which people feel bad about killing the Skarn over and over again.
Yeah.
And I feel like the Rift Stalker is, you know, worth bringing up just for being a really, really cool fight. I don't know. Do you think it would be spoilers to kind of talk about the fight itself, or?
If you don't want to hear, skip 30 seconds ahead or something. So go ahead.
Yeah, so I mean, basically, its element is shadow. I forget what they call it, but it's basically shadow. Its kind of gimmick is that it can create portals and jump through them. And so that ranges anything from just like, you know, moves where, you know, it'll disappear through a portal and then like a portal will appear behind one of your teammates and like he'll jump out at them, to there's a ability where he basically does the, you know, portal the video game kind of trick of like putting one portal directly above another one and just like accelerating to ludicrous speed and like zooming all over the stage after you. But probably most interesting is he can actually suck you into into the portals, in which you go to like this sort of shadow realm where you kind of have to, you know, fight your way out before you can actually continue the fight proper.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's very creative.
Yeah, yeah. Especially since like the immediate preceding behemoth, although cool in concept, is kind of crap in implementation.
Hmm.
It's boring. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, a really fun game, free to play, done well. Seems to have a really good base, so I expect it'll stick around, and I'm excited to see the way they update it. So that's Dauntless.
You're playing this on PS4?
Oh, that's the other great thing. I'm playing it on PS4 and PC.
Okay.
And it just depends on who I'm playing with at the time, and it totally is cross-save, cross-play, and I love it.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Talk about being a good citizen. Good God.
That lead. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I saw you post about doing a remote play on your Vita.
Yeah, I do that as well. That is very smooth. That works great.
Nice.
But this is literally I've queued in on PlayStation 4 playing with an Xbox player. It is Nirvana.
Hmm.
So really, really cool.
Rules.
Yeah. Okay. So that's Dauntless. The next game, and Ben, the one that I thought you would be excited about, is a game called Gladiabots. Like Gladiator Bots. Gladiabots.
Let me do an image search. What is this?
Yeah. This is a game that you play exclusively through coding. So you program your bots at the beginning, and that's the entirety of the game, because once you hit play, it is completely out of your hands. You have no ability to adjust, no ability to alter what you've done. The code that you put in for your bots stands until you either win or lose.
So you just invoke the function shoot everything.
Yeah, you just win. Right. Subroutine win.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It is a pretty extensive interface. Anyone who remembers like the AI programming part of Dragon Age Origins will recognize this.
Yeah, it's like a Gambit system almost from Final Fantasy XII. Yeah.
So, you know, exactly. If this, then that, and then otherwise do this, and you kind of it goes clockwise around the code that you set up, quote unquote code, and just the first thing that it's actually able to do, it does until it can't anymore, and then it checks again, or until a higher priority thing becomes available to do, and then it'll switch to that. So you can, I mean, the codes that I've set up for it, and I know I'm using code in a very broad sense, are something that, you know, have like 10 orders of operations to them. It's got room for 500, and I'm in the first three levels. So probably in the first, like, I don't know, 5% of the game, probably less than that. So this is going to get deep. I can just see it.
So what are some of the hooks, like, as far as like interacting with the world, or like, you know, like what are some of the triggers for seeing other people?
What do you mean seeing other people?
Like, so there's going to be if some condition, and then you're going to want to either like turn or shoot or something like that. What are those conditions?
Oh, yeah. So at the beginning of every level, you can see how the arena is set up, and you'll see what where the enemies are and where you are. And so you can set up your team, set up your code. But after that, it's a real trial and error kind of thing, where you put in something basic, run it and see where it falls apart, then adjust it, run that, see how much better or worse you did, adjust, run. And so you're kind of trial and erroring your way through. I haven't had a single, outside of maybe the first level of each type of game, a single time where I've been able to just get it on the first try.
So after the start, then, do you have to like...
Oh, yeah. So that's like, so... I mean, after it starts, your bots will do nothing unless you've told them something that applies. So generally, the last item of code is always move towards enemy bot.
Okay.
And so if nothing else, if they can do nothing else, they'll start moving towards an enemy bot. And then the next one, the one above that might be if enemy bot in range, attack.
Okay.
And then above that might be if shield below 25%, retreat. And you know, you add stuff, you know, and then maybe between that and attack, it's like if health between... 0 and 25%, go get a health pack.
Okay.
But so it is very like, an interesting setup in that there are a lot of options and it's fairly intuitive to do, but it doesn't hold your hand. So if you tell it to do something, that's going to completely break it, the game does not warn you. It doesn't try to stop you from doing that. And so if you accidentally put move towards enemy bot above attack, or, you know, forget to say that if you shouldn't, if your shield is back to 100, but your health is at 1%, don't go back into combat. But don't program it the right way. Your bot will totally just suicide.
Yeah. So it's like programming.
It is. Well, and so, you know, I was showing it to a friend who programs, and he's like, he goes, you know, it would be cool if you could just actually code the bots. Like, that would be really neat. And if you know how to code, that's always going to be more efficient than working through an interface, which this is. But we were talking about a level I was having trouble with, and I'm like, oh, you know, describing it to you, I bet if I do this, that would fix everything. And so I go in and I change that one line, and he's like, yeah, that's a good idea. And I go, okay, cool. Oh, wait, that one command means I now need to go in and change every other piece of this program. And he looks at me and he goes, that's what decoding is like.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was
going to say. Cascading dependencies.
Well, exactly.
On a related thing, can you define functions? So can you like define blocks of code and reuse them?
Yeah, they call them subnodes, but you can create a block of code, save it, and then you just click the button add subnode, and you can drop in an entire another block of code and link that in just like you would any specific command or dependency.
Yeah.
So super nerdy question. Well, two super nerdy questions. Can you call a subnode from itself?
So could you have like the attack command reference the attack command? No.
Yeah.
I mean, or whatever your subnode is.
I know that I've accidentally tried to pull in a subnode when I was already in that subnode and it wouldn't let me.
Ah, okay.
Can you have two subnodes call one another?
I don't know. I feel like I'm being set up for a scheme I don't understand.
Well, and
just try it and then back away from your computer slowly.
The other thing is, can you pass in inputs to a subnode?
Meaning what kind of inputs?
Like data?
Yeah, you would have to do it in the form of a condition. So say like if condition exists, then go to subnode.
Okay, so, but you can't actually pass data into the subnode. So you can't have, say, like the subnode could take go forward and do X, and you could pass in like attack, or another time pass in like, I don't know, heal or something like that.
Swap that out. I don't know. There might be a way to do it because there's a counter system that I haven't messed around with. So like it kind of counts 1, 2, 3, 4. And I wonder if there would be a, you know how people like made crazy elaborate things in Minecraft, right?
Yeah.
So I think there's probably a way to do whatever you want to do. I don't have the knowledge or the patience or the experience yet.
Yeah. Cause my issue with like these sorts of programming games is they tend to be based on like unstructured iterative programming, which is
like basic,
the kind of programming I don't care about. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
That might not make sense. I know. Ben, does that make sense?
It's a lot of times it might be overly simplified, and so you don't have like the same power that you might have with a regular open-ended programming language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There has to be a simpler way to ask, like, okay, Dennis, can you program Tetris into these robots? that's what they want to know. So you might as well. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, where is Mario 1-1 in the code? I don't
see.
Mario 1-1 in, you know, the first level of Doom.
Can you make this game make Little Big Planet 3 that makes Mario Maker?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. I would not be surprised at all if you could make this in Dreams. I'm confident that you can.
Yes. My non-jokey question is, and this is really specific. Now, like, their questions were general. When you defeat an enemy, can you like look and see what their programming was? Like, do the enemies follow the same rules that you do?
So they do. Every enemy is working off of programming the same way that yours is, but you can't see what it is. You have to like trial and error and guess at what it might be.
Yeah.
And that's the game of it, is figuring out how to overcome the specific way that these bots are programmed.
Yeah. Like, what I would love, just based on this, because, you know, I don't necessarily know how to code anything. Anything that I have coded has been through examples, right? So to learn this game, like, I would need to like observe the behavior that enemies can do. Like, I don't need to like see the code before I beat them, because that just you know, would tell me what strategy I needed to do to counter them. But like, if I beat this enemy, like, and I'm able to look under the hood and say, oh, that's how they did that.
I think once you win a mission, I would love to be able to go back and see the code.
Just like, so like step me through it or something. And who knows, maybe there is so much shared code between the enemies. Like, you know, there's just like basic stuff that, you know, different people will do that would give up the game for a good portion of the enemies.
And it's interesting because like if you spawn into an early mission, there will be a little tooltip that's like enemies will, like in this one, enemies know how to retreat. You know, focus your fire to defeat them. So it gives you a little guidance.
Yeah.
But it doesn't tell you anything about how to do that.
Yeah. Okay. I was just curious about that. Like how this game set out to teach you what to do.
There's a fairly extensive tutorial, which does a good job, but it also is just so on rails that I feel like I was able to just mimic a little too much.
Yeah.
I'm on the third mission of the most basic mode and it took me, on the third mission of the most basic mode, it took me a significant amount of time and effort to figure out how to beat it. Yeah. And even then it was kind of like, I made a small change to something that was close and it got me over the top. And I'm like, it didn't suddenly turn it into a decisive victory. It was like, okay, that got me the 10% above that I needed to win. And you really have this feeling that like your bots and their bots are truly on equal footing. Like there is no statistical advantage for you. And I read this in an article about it. Like it really makes you realize how much game AI in other games is programmed to be interesting rather than effective.
Yeah.
So it's a cool little game. I'm interested in trying to learn to code a little bit, and this is like my way of dipping the toe in before I decide if I want to go like all out. So
nice,
we'll see. So one more just a quick story. I've been playing through Borderlands VR or Borderlands 2 VR, knowing that Borderlands 3 is coming up here, and there's the Handsome Collection is now free. So I'm just trying to catch up before the big new one comes out. And there are these little spacer missions in like the home area of Sanctuary that are puzzles. So it'll be like, all right, one of these four twin brothers murdered someone, but we can't figure out who. And you have to go around and interview witnesses that give you, this one, he was carrying this kind of weapon, or I know he didn't have a shield. And like then you have to look at how, you know, what they're holding and like the hair color and all this stuff.
One only tells the truth. The other only tells lies.
That is literally one of those missions.
Really, Knights and Knaves, they do that shit?
It's a four-way Knights and Knaves.
Okay.
While I'm sitting there trying to figure it out, I've failed both these missions.
Okay.
And the reason is as I'm puzzling through and thinking, I'm kind of pointing at each of them as I'm like mentally going through what it is.
Okay.
Like, okay, it can't be you because this, and it can't be you because I'm shaking my hand and every time I say can't. And that is the melee or the attack. And so I have just randomly while thinking been like, oh shit, I just knocked that dude unconscious.
It wasn't the right one.
No.
Okay.
Of course not. Because I can't. And there's no way to undo it. There's no way to load it back. It's gone forever.
Yeah.
And it happened to me twice in a row for both the times a mission like that has shown up. You think I would learn? Fun stuff. VR just ain't all it's cracked up to be. It's a bust. They can't figure out how to not.
Dead end technology.
But super.
So
fun.
For this being Borderlands, can you just like declare all of them guilty and summarily executed?
That's how you announce who your winner or loses is you just plug them.
Just punch them in the face, apparently.
That's enough to kill them, and the sheriff is like, I don't know who did it. Just pick one of them and shoot them and to get this over with. I'm too busy to deal with this crap. So he doesn't care who you kill, but you don't get the full reward if you don't pick the right one. And I have not gotten the full reward. So sadness. I also have just gotten to a point, I'll say the bunker fight for anyone who's played Borderlands 2. And it is just, I cannot say enough about what an amazing villain Handsome Jack is. Like, I know he's got this kind of meme-y and over the top aspect, but that there really is so much there to him that is incredibly good. He's funny and over the top when he should be funny and over the top. He is scary and psychopathic when he should be scary and psychopathic. He's surprisingly human when he needs to be surprisingly human. Like, it just, it all works. That is, I think, my favorite video game villain of all time.
Hmm.
So, I've gotten to the high point of his arc, I would say.
Nice.
And it is as good as I remembered.
That's always good.
Yeah. So that's that. I've been playing a little more, but I'll save it for next time, in the name of not completely taking over the show, where we have so much to talk about with E3.
We do. Yeah. lots of responses. Ben, how about you?
Yeah, I do have one question for Dennis though. Gladiobots, is it on PC or console?
PC only right now.
Okay. All right, cool. All right. I've only got one bigger game that I've been playing this week, but it's cool. It's a new one. I've been playing Slay the Spire, which I know David's played. Has anyone mm-hmm. else played it?
No.
That's
no, right. I have not.
Okay. You played that, right, David?
Yep.
It's a sweet game, but it is a dangerous game because it is somewhat of a time sink. yeah, so I got it over the weekend and I started playing it. I think with the base game, there's three different classes you can play as, and you unlock them by playing like each subsequent one. You don't have to beat it with the person, but you just have to play it with the person before it. So I played with the first class, and the first run through, I beat the level, and so I was like feeling really strong. I started with the second class, and I'm still playing with the second class. Like, I've not been able to beat the level with them. So I think I kind of had beginner's luck with the first like deck that I had. But maybe to take a step back and explain what the game is. Slay the Spire is a deck builder roguelike game, is how it's built. Basically what it is you start off with a, I don't know, 20 card deck that has basic attack and defend type cards. And you fight other people with this. So on a given round, it'll be like your turn, then the enemy's turn, then your turn, the enemy's turn, back and forth until someone dies. On your turn, you'll have a selection of like maybe four or five cards that you can play. Some of them are attacks, some of them are defends. And the defense will last until your next turn. So basically that's what you'll use to defend yourself when the opponents attack you on their turn, and vice versa. I think the opponents can defend themselves. Yeah, the opponents can defend themselves, but they don't do it. They don't do it as frequently as you do it. You do it pretty much every turn. And so usually like a typical scenario is you'll start off the game. You might have like 100 health and you'll be fighting opponents that might have 150 or 200 health or something like that. So kind of the flow of it is you have to make sure that you're defended pretty much every round. And you have to like slowly chip away at damage of the opponents if you want to try and make it long term and not burn out. And then the interesting mechanic of the game is after each battle, you can look at one of three reward cards that you can put in your deck. You don't have to, you can skip over them if you don't want to add any of them. But that's how you kind of upgrade your deck. And then you eventually, you're kind of like traveling, along like a kind of like a choose your own adventure, like node graph. So you kind of pick which direction you want to go, but they all eventually go to a boss. And along the way, you can stop at merchants where you can pay to take cards out of your deck, or you can pick these like kind of static upgrades. And then that's the other thing is you'll slowly get static upgrades in treasure chests as you fight mini bosses, or just if you go to like treasure spots on the map. So all of this is to say is that you're slowly upgrading and refining your deck. So it's a similar gameplay to like Dominion, if anyone's played that board game, but this is just in video game form of it. It's pretty fun. It's pretty addictive. It's similar to like Magic. It kind of scratches a similar itch to that. They do a good job of, at least in the two classes that I've seen, of having a couple of different strategies that you can employ with a given character. So you kind of, when you have three cards that you're presented with where you can take one at the end of every battle, you can kind of see like, okay, this one kind of goes in line with the strategy that I'm trying with this character. So I'm going to grab that one. I'm going to ignore these other two. The tough part about the game is knowing when to not continue to add cards to your deck and like how to like slowly increase the quality of your deck. The other mechanic that they have is any of the cards you play, they all have like a two level system where it's like card and card plus. So there's other points on the map where you can upgrade a card of your choice. And so some of them are just really basic. Like a card might say do 6 damage and it might get upgraded to do 10 damage. But other cards are like pretty insane where like on the first class, it's like one of the cards is upgrade a single card in your hand for the rest of the combat.
Okay.
Where the upgraded version of it is upgrade every card in your hand for the rest of the combat. So some of them, like some of the upgrades are like I guess that's kind of the fun of the game, is trying to find the maximum like leverage points, I guess, or like how to get, how to like most improve your deck, like through small actions. Yeah, I don't know. Before playing this game, like watching other people play it, I think I had a hard time getting into it. The art style is like still kind of like basic. It's like they kind of go for like I'm not sure what the maybe they go for like a Hollow Knight type theme, but not gray, like a colorful Hollow Knight, if that makes sense.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But I feel like the art's not the highest of quality, so I don't think that's like the main component of the game. I think it's more like if you like kind of like deck building type games, then that kind of scratches that itch. And yeah, it wasn't until I think the inspiring thing for why I started playing it is I saw John Blow playing it.
Uh-huh.
And so he started playing it like I think Saturday morning at like 9 a.m. And so I was watching him figure out the first character and like build his deck that way. And that I guess that's what got me into it, is I saw someone play it from the beginning and kind of learn how to play it. So that made it seem cool to me. So.
Yeah, you were kind of along for the ride. You didn't have to do all that experimenting yourself.
Yeah. And I wasn't like thrown into the middle of it. So, yeah, I kind of like learned the context and everything. So,
yeah, no, I think like at any given time during the day, somebody on my friends list is playing Slay the Spire.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like, you know, if you ever have to ask yourself, is Wings on? Yes, Wings is on somewhere.
No. Are you talking about the first Best Picture winner?
What?
The movie Wings?
I'm talking about the sitcom that takes place in an airport, Wings.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. No, but people seem to go kind of ape for it. So it scratches the magic itch for you, and you know that. Like, you play tons of Magic. Does it do stuff like Hearthstone where things would be impossible if this was not a computerized card game?
Well, kind of like the upgrade card mechanics is something that would be hard to do physically. So a little bit, they do a little bit of that. For the most part though, that's one thing that I've noticed is like, this could pretty easily be a card game. I think there's not too many instances where, they kind of leverage that fact. Like there's not a lot of like there's a couple cards that are like get a random thing where you could kind of do it, but it's definitely easier if you do it online.
The one I remember some of the bosses have some relatively complicated like AI where they transition through different modes, right?
That's true. Yeah. And there's like maybe a lot of things that have like counters attached to them. Like every 10th time you do this, get this. So that would be, it would definitely be finicky if you had a physical version of this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they do a good job too of like they'll usually have one boss it's like three levels to get through to like for the campaign or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think it's probably about an hour per stage, so like an entire run's probably about 3 hours. Correct me if I'm wrong, David.
It's pretty long.
They do a good job of like throughout the 3 hours, there's probably at least one person you'll fight that's like a hard counter to what your type of deck is. So you kind of have to like be mindful of that when you're building your deck. So for example, there's one deck I was trying to build where there's a card that's when you draw it, create another copy of it and add it to your hand. And the card itself is just deal 4 damage to someone. So it's like a very small card or whatever. But I was trying to build a deck with a lot of drawing, like so you draw cards over and over again so that you just make a bunch of these like zero cost kill cards, and then you can just play them all to like decimate people. So that's like something that would be harder to do, I guess, in real life if you had to keep making copies of these things. There's somebody that I fought who, what they do is on every turn, they'll put 2 dead cards in your deck. And so I was trying for a real low card, like a low deck size, for this strategy, so I could consistently like draw through. Yeah. And so that was like very bad for me. So that was just something that was like, well, I guess you can't do that if you run into that enemy. So I tried like another version of it where I tried to like pad it more, and so I could get past things like that.
What do you retain from run to run?
I don't think anything. I think you might unlock cards maybe, but I haven't really noticed anything. So each time you start out, even though it's a roguelike, I think the roguelite's referring to like you're upgrading your deck throughout as you're going from world to world. Mm-hmm. But I could be wrong about that. David, do you know if you like get any long-term buffs between run to run?
I'm not certain, honestly. I mean, I know I've been kind of focused on, trying to unlock new characters. So okay. I know that's right. A thing. I don't know, though, about
how many characters are there? Are there not just three characters?
I think just three, unless they've updated it since.
Okay. Because I think you just need to... Well, I don't even think you need to beat runs, because I unlocked the third character, even though I hadn't beaten all three worlds with the second character, but I just haven't gone on to that one yet, because I wanted to beat it with the second character. To give you, like, a quick overview of what the three different characters are, there's... The first character is, like, a straight-up, like, fighter person, so it's very simple of, like, he just deals a bunch of damage, and he has, like, some cards that'll be, like, deal more damage this turn, you know?
Stands to reason.
Yeah. So he's like a pretty straightforward type character. The second character is like a lot harder. It's a more like dexterity type character, more like on, and it has like, the two main mechanics are poisoning and, throwing daggers. And so those are like the two main strategies for deck building. So like the poison build, there's like a card where every round you inflict someone with poison, like an additional poison than what they already have. And then at the beginning of their turn, they lose that much damage. So it might be like, okay, you inflict them with two poisons, so they lose two damage, but then it goes down by one, but then it increases by two on your turn. So then they get like three damage the next time, and then they get four damage, then five damage. So like eventually that ends up stacking and being a lot of damage, but it's just really slow. Yeah. So like their strategy is to do that early and just batten down the hatches and just defend every round if they can.
Yeah.
Like, that's one strategy for him. The other strategy is daggers, which are, like, zero-cost, deal 4 damage type cards. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, a lot of cards that they have where it's, like, buff it. So it's, like, okay, your dagger does 12 damage instead of 4 damage. Or there's a card where it's, like, you get a free dagger every turn, and then you can use that to attack. So, like, that's kind of their strategy, is to, like, just get a shit ton of these zero-cost cards that they can play. Because one thing I forgot to mention is there's like a very simple like mana meter where every round you have 3 mana. And so that's what you can, each card will have a cost, typically like 1, 2, 3, or 0. And so you kind of have to balance what you can play. Even though you might have a hand of like 5 or 6 cards, you might only be able to play 2 of them, you know? So
nice.
That's the other thing you have to balance. Anyway, hopefully I'm not getting too lost in the weeds of the details of that game. It's a pretty fun game. Yeah, it's definitely worth doing like a Let's Play of or something like that. I don't know. I could see it not being as interesting if you're not into like deck building or anything like that. So, but I think it's a good strategy game. So
nice.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Fantastic. Yeah, you sound excited about it.
Yeah, it's like a XCOM where you're not actually like running around and doing stuff. You're just looking at cards. Yes. So it's like a lazy XCOM.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see, David, how about you?
So I've pretty much just been playing Dauntless due to being out of town, so we've kind of more or less covered my virtual shenanigans.
Have you guys been playing it together?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've been doing off and on, right?
You've been killing the Skarn together.
Yes.
Skarn stomping.
We haven't beat up on a Skarn together yet.
Mm.
So we have to do that sometime.
Yep. Gotta boop that snoop.
Nice.
Barn that Skarn.
Well, I don't mean to follow that up with my own thing. I put a wheel on a wheelbarrow. No, I've been too busy doing. I've been very busy doing things to help my family out while also doing some other stuff. So nothing really this week. I've
streamed.
I did. Yeah. No. So I streamed Haunting Ground. That's a game I've talked about a lot. I was a little bit reticent to do it because I don't like repeating myself. Haunting Ground was the game that I streamed for the first Duck Stream. back in 2014. Yeah. And the thing that I am learning is that games are a lot more enjoyable when you're not playing them all in a row. You know, when you can do them chapter by chapter. Duckstream is very enjoyable, but I got very frustrated. My memory of Haunted Ground was being extremely frustrated because
just
of...
Just like Siren.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe maybe if I loaded up Siren, it'd be the best thing. But yeah, it's good. That's I mean, for people who don't recognize that by name, it is a PlayStation 2 game. It is by the people who made Clock Tower. That series, you're playing as a young woman wakes up in a castle, and you're being chased around by a bunch of kind of pursuer enemies. Each chapter has a different pursuer who has different kind of abilities. It's a very beautiful game, and it's hornier than I remember it being, but it is very spooky. And yeah, I am coming away from it with a better opinion than I left it with 5 years ago. So
you know, like how in Resident Evil games, like one out of every 10 cutscenes will really be like off the rails and really weird. this game is just 100% of that.
yeah. And like, you know, off the, like, it's like there, it's funny, but it's also incredibly unnerving. Mm-hmm. And like, in addition to that, like I've continued doing the Hex Crank First Hours, but I don't feel like there's an awful lot for me to say about those, because 1 hour does not necessarily like, it is good for a preview, but it is not like, I don't feel like I could say something about like Layers of Fear 2, which is the most recent one that I did, you know. But those are up on YouTube if you want to see them.
So a question, I missed the streams, but I just pulled up you know, the Wikipedia on Haunting Grounds.
Yes.
What's the deal with the dog?
So the dog is somebody, you know, the dog is in the mansion or in the castle, trapped with you, and it's your companion. So your ability to enact combat is very limited. It is, you know, you can kind of kick, you can do a couple of shoves. Huey is the name of that, dog. You can send him to find items if you want to, but in combat, you can sick him on the enemy, to kind of bite onto them and hold them for a while you run and hide. And okay. Then your relationship with the dog, you know, if you have praised it and fed it and all of that, that determines one of your endings. Yeah. Sweet.
Is this the same, dog that is behind, what is it? Silent Hill 2, I think. Or
unclear.
Whatever?
Unclear.
Okay.
I cannot say for sure or not. No, this is a White Shepherd. I forget what kind of dog is in those cutscenes.
Yeah. I know. Still so, my head canning.
They may be in cahoots.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. Dennis, you put up this week's question. What did you ask the nice people?
Yeah, basically E3. What are you feeling? What are you excited about?
Yeah, minus Square Enix and Nintendo. Square is running its press conference while we're recording, and Nintendo is tomorrow. So we're going to be missing those. However, people have thoughts about things. I'm going to start with a common one. I'm going to get at least two of them out that I see. Alex says the Keanu daddy in Cyberpunk and not having to wait until 2077 to play it combo. So both those things together. And then two down, Brian Wade says Keanu.
I agree with this. I also, I noticed in the text describing kind of his role in the game, you can choose him as like a background figure during character creation, which means it's possible to just not have him in the game, maybe? Okay. Like, what happens if you don't choose him? Like, I feel bad for every other choice.
Right. It'd be funny if, like there were endings hidden behind doing not Keanu.
The non-Keanu run?
Yeah, okay. 100% FC... speed run NK. oh, well, I'm not going to watch this. There's NK.
So this is actually my answer as well. Just Cyberpunk by itself, like the Keanu part, I don't think's like necessary for me to be really excited about this game.
Right.
But yeah, whatever. He seems like a nice guy. The internet seems justified in that opinion.
Yeah, it's it's weird. He is, I think maybe he is one of the only celebrities that I'm aware of whose capital just grows and grows. Like, so far, his appeal has never really spoiled with people online. He just kind of seem like he doesn't seem to have like any real skeletons in his closet. Like, people don't hold any of his more suspect performances against him. And the fact that this is like literally like this broke through my little bubble, my little busy bubble. you know, like, holy shit, did you see Keanu's going to be in Cyberpunk? And for me, like, the release date, like, what, March or April of next year of 2020?
April. Yeah.
No, like, that to me is like, all right, well, fuck. Okay. Yeah. No, this is like, this is not a hypothetical far off thing. This, it could be happening. That's like way more exciting to me. Not to rain on anybody's Keanu parade.
Yeah. And as a funny side story, my friend, one of his coworkers immediately put in a request off date for April 20, whatever, for the release date of the game. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
As a side note, everyone should do themselves a favor and find some time to watch Man of Tai Chi.
Yeah.
Just evil Keanu is maybe best Keanu.
It is a rare Keanu. That's for sure.
He was in a Shakespeare play where he's the evil one. I forget which one it was. It was the one where they all get married at the end. So that narrows it down.
Yes. Well, so fully one third of his plays. It's not a history. It's not a tragedy. Okay.
That's the one.
Yeah. Oh, he was the dick in Taming of the Shrew.
Yeah.
Nice. I hear Keanu in Shakespeare. I can't get over his accent in Dracula. Yeah. Let's see here. Ben, what does Adam say?
Adam says, xCloud excites me just for the convenience of like going over to my brother's house and we can play Xbox together without having me to bring mine, just my laptop and a controller.
Hmm.
Yes. So
tell me what xCloud is.
I think it's Xbox's equivalent of what Google's trying to do, where you just stream games instead of playing them natively on your hardware.
Yeah.
So the idea is you just buy a box that's capable of receiving streaming content, and then they like whoever you're buying this from or whatever, they will run the game on servers somewhere and then just stream it to your box.
Cool.
Yeah.
So then that box should be what, about, you know, $10?
I know, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what they'll sell it for too.
Yeah. But in theory, you could run it on a Raspberry Pi. Probably not, but you get the idea. What were you going to say, Ben?
I don't know. So Google's version of this, the Stadia, I think they did some announcements for E3. They have like a specific release that's only coming out for Google. It's like a horror game, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't see the horror game. I saw that they were doing Baldur's Gate 3 with the people who did, oh my gosh, what is it, Divinity Original Sin, I think, maybe?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. So I didn't catch the horror one. I'm curious about that, though.
Mm-hmm. I'll throw it up in chat. I'll find it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Cool. Let's see, David, what does Michael say?
Michael says... Ad-free ad. Carrion, so far, caught my eye. I like what Devolver Digital brings to the table. They also showed off Enter the Gungeon, House of Gundead, arcade cabinet. I can't wait to play that somewhere in 2020.
Yeah, Carrion looks super interesting. I heard a kind of a vague description of it, but the footage sold me. So this is like a hyper-bloody... 2D platformer kind of thing, but instead of playing as like the super soldier or whatever, you are playing as the tentacle monster that is hunting down all of the people on the station. And it appears to be some sort of grappling hook game because you are a mass of tentacles. The way that you ambulate is by just kind of reaching out a couple of feelers and then pulling yourself toward the wall and enemies and stuff like that. The art looks amazing, and the play in general seems to flow really well. yeah, this looks badass.
Yeah, and for possibly spoilery, but this looks like an entire game based around the last 10% of Inside.
Yeah, yep. I was gonna say, I had the same thought, but I didn't want to say that. Okay.
That game's a few years old, and that's vague enough. People know, if anybody's interested in Inside, they know that there's a twist. This is a good catch, Michael. Dennis, what does Ollie say?
He says, Fallen Order looks like Star Wars crossed with Dark Souls-like combat. Hook it to my veins.
Yeah, no, I saw a headline on Polygon that was like, Fallen Order is Dark Souls, Metroid, and Zelda or something like that. Which, on one hand, it sounds like somebody really, really trying to oversell it to me. But yeah. I saw footage, and it looks neat. Like, it doesn't look like any Star Wars game I've seen before.
Yeah, the problem is it looks just like all those other games, which I the impression I came away from viewing the like gameplay reveal, it was like, you know, 14 minutes or whatever, mm-hmm. was like, man, there is not a single original thought in this game. Hmm. And I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah.
Star Wars, so great. Yeah, as long as it's not abysmal, I will enjoy playing Star Wars. But I would also love to see something new brought to the table.
Hmm. Yeah, I was gonna say, normally, Dennis, I feel like I try and be more optimistic or whatever. But I was also pretty down on this gameplay reveal trailer too, because it's like it just seemed very bland and like sterile. The gameplay where it's like, all right, I'm gonna walk into this room, I gotta kill five people. I'm gonna walk in the next room, I gotta kill five people. Mm-hmm. They showed like a puzzle mechanic where you can like slow down specific things. So you can either use it in combat to slow down
dead
people,
space.
Or you can slow down like things, you know, like moving parts, so you can like walk through them or whatever. And yeah. So they showed like three puzzles where you do this, but there's like nothing interesting about them. It was all the same sort of thing. Or it's like, oh, there's a fast moving thing, I'm gonna slow it down and walk through
puzzle,
it. And
then puzzle
kill
is
five
generous.
More people.
Yeah, you can slow exactly. down, like, you can slow Task. Down a blaster bolt and then pull someone in front of the bullet, which
that
is
that was cool,
but that's Dishonored.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right.
Like it's all like again, it is in a Star Wars setting, so that gives it some credit. And I just don't want it to be bad, but at the same time, like give us something.
Yeah.
A little droid companion on his back, maybe that could be it, but like.
Yeah,
well, I want to like it. I really want to like it.
I just want a Jedi outcast when I saw it. I was like, man, just give me a lightsaber that I can swing around like that. It's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Just let me
just
chop
as
people
as long
up,
as there's no want. More choices.
Yeah. No, I mean, we got different takeaways, but I don't need to throw mine and try and get the last word. I take your meaning on that.
I think we all hope that it's really good.
Yeah, yeah. we can all agree on that.
What game from E3 do you hope sucks?
I don't know. I just like the people work really hard on these things. Like I don't wish failure in any of them. If you know, yeah. if I can help it. I don't know if any of them are Nazis. I'd like to see them fail, but I didn't see any games made by Nazis apparently. So, let's see here. Casey says Ori and the Will of the Wisps has me very excited. The first one was a great platformer with killer music. This promises to be just as good. Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition now with a higher fidelity. Yeah, I was real jazzed about Age of Empires 2. That looked really neat. I don't care that they're just remaking the old stuff. It's fine. Just give me more of what I want, please.
I have no reference point for the games, so it'll be like it's new to me.
No, they're fun. They're fun strategy games. Although what I really want is Age of Mythology. But yeah,
be warned. Also, like Slay the Spire, it is a time sink game where you start playing and you're like, oh shit, it's 3 or 4 in the morning.
Yeah. Let's see, Ben, what does Alexander say?
Alexander says, weirdly, the thing that pleases me most is how many of these Xbox exclusives are also coming to PC. Finally getting PSO2 in the West, Elden Ring. Essentially, I'm very excited to never buy an Xbox One.
Yeah, PSO is Phantasy Star Online 2. I was surprised that was still a going thing. But when I saw that, I was like, oh, a lot of people are going to be really, really happy about this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good.
Although I think one of the announcements, they had Halo Infinite. I don't know if that's going to come up or not. I don't think that's going to be a PC on PC, but I could be wrong about that.
I don't know.
So what is Halo Infinite?
It's the Halo reboot that they're like sinking like billions of dollars into, or no, millions of dollars into.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that seems questionable.
Oh no shit. All right, it's apparently Halo Infinite's going to be on Windows as well, so never mind.
Yep. There's a lot of cross-pollination.
It's forward looking. Microsoft for a while has been making motions to understanding that the PC is actually a really huge asset for them in this. And you know, saying not putting all of their eggs in the Xbox basket is a good is probably a good move, maybe.
So yeah. So totally like knee-jerk reaction, but I would maybe say like from what's been described, you know, very briefly, Halo Infinite might be my game from E3 that I hope's not good, just because I don't want to see video games become, you know, movies where it's like, hey, instead of actually making new games, let's just remake old games over and over again.
I mean, that's been happening for a while.
Yeah, that's why I'm hoping, you know, maybe someone gets run out of business doing it.
Keep hoping. Yeah. I wonder how many games have had enough sequels that they've eventually gotten the Infinite title. I feel like that's got to have at least a few games to it.
BioShock.
Did Doom bypass it with Eternal?
Yeah, kind of same oeuvre, isn't it?
I don't know which one's longer between Infinite and Eternal.
Don't know. Eternal has a more biblical kind of connotation to it.
I had not picked that up before the trailer that they showed over the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm so excited for that. That's going to be really good.
I was going to say, I want to interject. Dennis, have you said yours yet, Dennis, of what you're most excited about? Because I feel like there's a definite answer, but.
Right. No, I haven't yet.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to do ours at the end as long as nobody does nobody hits ours. Okay. Let's see, David, David, what does Bill say?
Bill says Doom Eternal, Elden Ring, and Ghostwire Tokyo. I love single to semi-single player games and with good lore. And I'm excited to see the Doom Slayer go to heaven. Also, I'm here for the King Nuada figure who is missing his or her right arm in the Elden Ring trailer.
Yeah, I think that trailer did what it was intended to do. I want more. I want to know more.
Related to like Elder Scrolls or
no, this is a new thing that looks very Dark Souls-y in aesthetic to me.
And it has the dude from Game of Thrones attached to it.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah.
Did he write the story for this before the game or something? Or
the credit is a world from Miyazaki and George R. R. Martin.
Okay,
but I don't know. I don't know how involved he is because I haven't watched that. I haven't watched the press conference where that was revealed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely the trailer for it definitely has that kind of Miyazaki weirdness.
Yeah.
Like not everything looks, you know, cool horror. It's got some quirk to it as well.
Yes. Yeah. And then alongside this, I'm curious about what Ghostwire Tokyo is going to be, but I have not seen play. You know, the fact that this is by the Bayonetta people. This is the one that's by Resident Evil 2 guy. Fuck me. I thought the trailer looked interesting, but I just want to know more about what's going on with that team. Let's see. Dennis, what does Christopher say?
He says, very curious about the new game from mostly because George R. R. Martin was apparently involved. Also, Blair Witch game from the people that made Layers of Fear. I'm into it.
Ah, put it in my veins. It begins. Yeah, the Blair Witch thing, I am extremely excited about that.
Really?
Yeah, no, that is a very good match.
Is it literally Blair Witch, or is that just saying like that style?
No, it's a Blair Witch licensed game made by the Layers of Fear people.
Okay.
It's been 20 years. It's time.
That IP is cheap enough.
Yeah. No, anybody who denies how important that movie was, I will start taking swings at you. Yes,
you
it was overdone.
Hear that I've never seen it.
I was gonna say, are you gonna start taking swings at children who don't know about the movie at all?
Well, they're gonna learn about it pretty damn quick, aren't they?
Yeah, they will.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought that was that's a good pairing. I think of developer and title. And then let's see here, Dennis. What does Ludwig say?
Yeah, I'll take, because it's the same thing. Elden Ring and Blair Witch. From's world building is almost always on point, and this is shaping up to be an example of that. The rumors of them taking inspiration from Celtic myth and history is exciting, as it's relatively relatively unexplored topic in media. Go check out Hellblade.
Yes.
Blair Witch is a game I most likely won't play myself, but I'm still excited to see what kind of experience it'll be. The concepts and ideas present in horror are usually more engaging to me than actually experiencing it firsthand, like you do when playing horror games. I am all about reading horror movie and game Wikipedia pages. So I'm right there with you.
Yeah. I'm excited that From is going to do another thing in a medieval kind of setting. Sekiro is really good, but I've been missing that D&D heat. So,
yeah.
No. Let's see here. Sean says Ghostwire Tokyo is so far the most excited I've been this E3. The team behind the very underrated but still flawed The Evil Within are working on a new supernatural Japanese action adventure game described as, quote, spooky, with a main character that looks like Marvel Comics Ronin. Also, the game director, Ikumi Nakamura, was the cutest, most pure thing I've ever seen at any E3, and her enthusiasm sold me alone. I saw a lot of gifs of her. And I love seeing people excited to show things that they have made.
Yeah, this is just genuine was the word I would use for it.
Yeah,
I do have a beef with Ghostwire.
Okay,
gonna get it out on the table here. The tagline, or like the kind of ending line from the trailer, is a voice that goes, "Don't fear the unknown, attack it."
Oh, geez. I was like, oh, yeah. No, that's for real. Whoa.
maybe not so much that in the context of ghosts in, like, you know, fear style game, sure, okay,
right
maybe not.
Yeah, no, too. anything you're gonna put in the world, look at it in 2019 eyes for a second. It's fine. It doesn't have to make you not do a thing, but understand how it looks at the least.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, watching the show, I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. I kind of do what? Okay.
Whoa, it's kind of a stance. Yeah. Remember that thing I said about games made by Nazis? I don't think that's
no, but I mean, it's just so a misguided. The intro coming from, again, the most pure is a great word for it. Just genuinely excited, charming person.
Yeah.
You know, in a female director at that, like, kind of even that out.
Yeah.
But just, I'll get that out there. That was kind of my cringe moment from E3. Otherwise, excited for this game.
It just a poor awareness of tone, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's what I was reaching for. Evil Within. What's up, Ben?
I was trying to think what Master Chief said in the Halo Infinite trailer, because it had the same sort of sentiment where it's like, I think the one person's like, "We gotta run." He's like, "No, we gotta fight." And he just jumps out into space to attack something.
It's the most Master Chief thing I've ever seen.
Yeah,
apparently that's the E3 theme.
It's kind of his one
punch that space.
It's kind of his one move is like, "I could be in space. I'm gonna go fight a thing in space."
Yeah.
Let's see, Ben. What does Patrick say?
Patrick says, "Now that the Microsoft Store supports Win32 applications, I'm actually excited for Game Pass for PC. Although the fact that the announcement of it brought the store to a halt does make me a little nervous for the first major game launch."
There. I have a vague vague notion of what this means, that maybe older games are going to be available in the Game Pass. Is that what it means? I'm confused.
Honestly, I don't know.
The default pinball machine is now available again.
Oh, Space Cadet Pinball?
Oh, I wish. That'd be amazing. That's the only announcement I really wanted for E3. It never happens.
E3 2019. Chips Challenge is back.
How has that never gotten remade? Like, in some form?
Chips Challenge?
Yep.
I don't know. I think it's one of those things that might have just always been available. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'll need to look up more about that, but I think Win32 means that it'll be older stuff will be available. Maybe it was only 64-bit stuff. David, what does Nathan say?
Nathan says, of course, excited for Elden Ring, but most imminently excited to see how Stadia develops and performs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, curious about Stadia. It was weird, not weird. It makes sense for Google to announce when they did. The effect of putting their thing, putting a weekend between your announcement and the rest of E3 means that I forget about it.
So. Yeah. It kind of, we'll see. History will judge, but I do think it kind of backfired in terms of like, they said hi, and then immediately everyone else at the party showed up.
Lots of shiny objects. Ben, though, you posted the, you posted the video. Guilt is the name of it. GYLT.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you know who makes this?
I do not.
Tequila Works. I will get to the bottom of this because that aesthetic looks very.
If it's Tequila Works, then it's the people who made Rhyme and the one like 2D shooter where you're in Seattle with zombies running through it. I forget what it's called.
Okay.
It's a at times frustrating game. Actually, I played both those games and bounced off of them because of how frustrating they were. So
no, they did Deadlight and they did the Sexy Brutale. That's what I recognize the aesthetic from.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't played Sexy Brutale.
Yeah. Neat game.
The most unfortunately named game ever made.
It doesn't match it. It's a very misleading game. Very misleading name, rather. let's see. And then I think is this me for Warren? Yeah, I'll just take it. Warren says, definitely Cyberpunk 2077. The Witcher 3 is my favorite game of all time. I'm not sure how that slipped my mind for last week's question. And I'm looking forward to see how they try to top it. But Doom Eternal is a top contender as well. It's such great mindless fun. Can't wait to get my collector's edition and with the wearable Doomslayer helmet.
Godspeed.
Yep. Make sure to maybe grease up the inside. I don't know how big your head is. I just know I would not, maybe because I've got a gigantic melon, I would not want to put my head into a piece of undersized Chinese manufactured plastic.
So this is another game where the main character just fights the unknown. He doesn't take time to know. Yeah.
No, he doesn't ask him what they. He doesn't ask them if they write songs. When the unknown
is breathing fire and has horns, I think it's a pretty safe bet.
Right. Well, that's just prejudice, is what it is. I can't get behind that, Dennis. No, I think like Doom Eternal for me is like the one thing that I think is guaranteed to please. Like everything else, I've got very high hopes for. But Doom, I think, is probably the one that has the highest probability of hitting it out of the park for me.
It's going to be the closest of expectations versus reality.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, for good or for ill. Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I feel like, I'm watching the trailer you posted for Guilt. I feel like the looks pretty cool. I feel like the two things that, come to mind for me are one, at what point did the game industry decide, hey, you know, our fans are old enough now that it's actually less scary for us to threaten them than it is for us to threaten their kids?
I mean, part of the that's part of the dadding of games, right? It's like catering to, even if you don't care about your own body or safety, you would be very concerned about somebody else's.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
And the other thing is just, I really hope this game doesn't end up being like, I don't know, some sort of allegory for, you know, some part of, you know, growing up or something like that. Like, I feel like the world, you know, needs to have horror games that are just about the scary things and they scare you.
Oh, the horror games have always been some kind of metaphor or some kind of social commentary. I mean, not so much horror games. However, any kind of horror media, you know.
Sometimes, you know, it's like Freud said, sometimes the tentacle monster is just a tentacle monster.
True. Yeah.
Forgot how he was really into the Cthulhu mythos.
Yeah, it's weird.
I guarantee the... you in Carry On, the tentacle monster is something more than a tentacle monster.
So we can do ours. Mine's going to be real quick. I forget what show this was announced with. However, the new game by Sam Barlow, the designer of Her Story, specifically the game is called Telling Lies. Mm. It looks like Her Story, but more. Instead of looking at footage of one person, you're looking at footage of four people trying to cross-reference their stories. And there are some quality of life things built into it where you can, you know, like click on a word in the transcript as opposed to writing down something to search for later. But it appears to be very similar to Her Story, but I am hungry for that now because Her Story rules. And this looks like it'll be a day one purchase for me.
I feel like Sam Marlowe sounds like the name I would most expect someone to end up in, like a film noir type of thing.
Sam Barlow's Telling Lies. Let's see. No, Multi-Spock was Sam Spade, not Sam Barlow. Let's see. How else do we do this? Ben, what sticks out to you so far?
So I still am excited for Cyberpunk 2077. So I don't think E3 really changed that one way or another. Like I still was excited about that.
Right.
Yeah, there's just more things to be excited about in addition to that, I guess, now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice. You know, just a bonus Keanu.
Yeah, exactly. With the Keanu on top.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice. David, how about you? What sticks out so far?
Yeah, so I think Cyberpunk's definitely a highlight, as is Doom. I'm not sure about the new From thing, just because it seems like that's such a narrow thing of I like Soulsborne because it walks very much the razor's edge of, you know, various features that could be deal breakers for me.
Okay.
And so it's kind of like, I feel like there's no way of knowing whether this will be, you know, like my game of the year or a game that I'll just never have any desire to play.
Yeah.
But I think the big one, I'm actually surprised no one mentioned just for being interesting, is that Fallout 76 is coming out of early access.
And it's going to be a battle royale game.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish that was a joke.
You know. Yeah, so they're finally implementing, you know, NPCs and a plot and, you know, all the things that Fallout's known for.
Yeah. Huh. Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, so my most exciting thing is actually a new IP from the makers of Dishonored called Deathloop. And we don't know much about it other than a cinematic trailer right now. But mm-hmm. The idea is there are two assassins stuck in some kind of time looping island. One fighting to preserve the time loop and another fighting to break it. Just looks super stylish, super atmospheric. And man, I'm ready for an injection of fresh IP, fresh ideas.
Yeah.
It's hard to judge it based off of a cinematic trailer. But I like the thinking, and I'm calling it now. The two characters are the same person.
Okay.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, this looks super exciting to me. More and more games are playing with Groundhog Day, including the official Groundhog Day 2 video game.
There also seems to be a commitment to the idea of, like, hey, every situation you can approach in multiple ways, and mm-hmm. we're going to make every way fun and viable, like Dishonored had.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I trust Arcane implicitly. Between Dishonored and Prey, they have hit it out of the park both times. So or all three times. So
yeah, so we shall see. Also, two minority characters in the lead. So I like to see that.
So all right, The one that I thought people were going to say but did not get said is Microsoft buying, Double Fine Studios.
Oh, weird.
And the possibility of more games coming out for that. Psychonauts 2, I think, is definitely coming out. They talked about that, but possibility of other things like perhaps Brutal Legend 2 coming out.
Oh, yeah. Or something. Mm. Yeah, no. Microsoft is continuing. They're buying up everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can I add two more on? I don't know that I'm more excited about these than Telling Lies, but these just came through. They are remastering Final Fantasy VIII, which that is the one that they just have not done because of, I think, music licensing rights, but they apparently nailed it, and it's going to be coming to PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and Steam. So yes, Final Fantasy VIII, more people need to play it. It needs to be available in more places. Sorry, Greta, I'll feed you soon. I already fed you. You just want treats. So, come on.
I feel like with Final Fantasy VIII, you know, there's, the new things in games of having the tourist mode.
Hmm.
I feel like Final Fantasy VIII needs the just card game mode.
I would be down for that. Just give me a mode that is, yeah, I agree. The other thing, not to prolong this or anything, but... Square Enix just dumped a shitload of music, including Final Fantasy soundtracks, onto a lot of streaming services, including Spotify, Apple Music, and Amazon Music. So you bet your ass I'm going to be adding those albums to my library. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yep. So sorry, I didn't mean to like top everybody with those last minute announcements, but I saw this come through and it's like, yeah, both of those.
It's insider trading right there.
But all of you have browsers. You can look at browsers.
It is interesting. Like I kind of, that feels very much in line with what I expected the biggest announcement from Square to be this year.
I mean, they announced, and nobody talked about this, but they announced a release date for the Final Fantasy VII remake. Like that's a
release date is not news.
Nobody knew when that was going to come.
Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
No, Keanu was the news there. Don't
No, Square had a little bit of heat on them, based on what I've seen. There's a demo coming for Dragon Quest Builders too. That game looks like it's gonna slap. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm bullish on Square when I shouldn't be. Who knows? But yeah, Final Fantasy VIII and classic Final Fantasy music. I mean, nothing wrong with that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you everybody for helping guide our discussion of E3 stuff. If there's anything huge that happens between now and next week's episode, I swear to God, Greta, then we will feature it. All that's left is Nintendo, and I am waiting on that one with bated breath. But if you want to participate in the multiplayer, just go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. On Monday afternoons. So how do you guys feel about bunting it up?
Yeah, that feels pretty complete.
All right.
Not Turing complete, but pretty complete.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to this week's episode of The Level. Because my cat is hungry for treats, even though I gave her many treats throughout the day. I'm going to keep this admin brief. If you could, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a rating or review. It is very appreciated when you do that. Otherwise, if you have friends who like video games and they might be amenable to podcasts, recommend us to them. Word of mouth is the way that we grow. Otherwise, just come back next week. We love having you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did I ever get anything big?
Don't think so.
Okay. Well, I've been Cole Ross. You can watch my stream. Oh no. Watch my, Hexcrank content, including the first hours at youtube.com/duckfeedtv.
Aha. You can watch my streams at, greenlaser73. And I've been Dennis Furia.
Yes.
I've been David Mindsmith, and I apparently need to learn how to stream.
It's fun.
And I've been Ben Merkel at Merkel B on Twitch.
Yeah, and stick around for some titles. Whiny baby, stop. If
it makes you feel any better, I haven't heard anything come through the mic.
Okay.
I haven't either.
Is she doing like the paw under the door thing?
No. I don't close doors anymore. No. She's doing like little sad laser beam meows, and she is it's like she's scratching my leg, but she's just kind of doing the kneading thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Sticking her claws into it, which is a sign that, you know, it's painful, a sign of,
by the way,
it's a sign of affection, but also it's pretty painful. And I swear, because I know this happens, I gave her a bunch of treats before we started recording.
Yeah.
Backfire. I just made her hungrier. I only have one that I wrote down. Perfect picnic.
I only have one, and it's Bear and Barrow.
Yeah, I have a Bear and Barrow, but I have to put that below my second one, which is 100% FC non-Keanu run.
Okay, yeah. So I basically had, I couldn't remember the exact iteration, but yeah, I had some version of, you know, no Keanu run.
Yeah. I'm going to stylize it as 100% FC NK run.
Yes. Yeah. Give us something to discover in the app.
Yeah. What else do we have? Anything else? Okay. 100%. Silence. Yes. Silence. 100% FC NK run, is the way to go, I think. Cool.
Sweet.
All right. I'm going to go feed my needy, whiny, crybaby cat.
Feed your need.
Yeah.
Your needer.
No. And
Money Smith, if you're going to be up, I was going to say I'll probably be on Dauntless.
I'm probably going to hit the sack just because I need sleep.
No one needs sleep. That's a myth.
Need sleep? What are you, a human?
He got in. He got in
for
his...
now. I'm hoping to upgrade to robot at some point.
He got in from his trip very late last night.
Oh, fair.
Yeah, I will vouch for you, David.
Fair enough. Don't encourage him.
No, I appreciate this.